That autumn I was more alone than ever before, so hollow that I rattled if I took the steps to the tube too quickly. Part of the reason I was depressed was because I seemed to run out of money a day earlier each month. Even so, I'd buy myself expensive wine at Jeroboam's on Davies Street, or Leon Sanderman on the Fulham Road in an attempt to lift my spirits. Or I'd walk past Waterstones on the way home and pile myself high with books that I'd read until my eyes bled with tiredness. Or I'd call up a girl from Edinburgh and take her on a date to some mid-priced restaurant, Chez Gerard or Patara or Strada, and we'd sit with absolutely nothing to say to one another, and she'd walk off into the rain with scorn perched upon her nose like pince-nez. I spent myself into a new type of debt, grown-up debt. I took out a staff loan from Silverbirch to pay off my credit cards and my overdraft, and yet the money still disappeared too quickly, and I was left with derisory stubs of debt that mounted up each month as I failed to repay them. And the loan from Silverbirch tied me to the job even more. I carried on spending, and even when my bonus came in that cold, dark Christmas, it failed to make much more than a modest dent in my debts. And all the time I continued to look at vast country houses on the internet, continued to press my greasy nose against the windows of car dealerships, started betting on stock movements, which never went my way, and left me feeling both stupid and poor. Insecurity crept like a childhood monster behind me, springing up and inspiring real terror whenever I had a moment of respite. It took me years to realize that few people in finance really understand what they are doing. It is a game of abstract bluffing, a bet on the next man being marginally more stupid than you are, or not being brave enough to point out your mistakes. Complex concepts are created by acne-scarred quantitative analysts in the research laboratories of the big investment banks, exported to the broader markets and accepted unquestioningly. Everyone is stalked by the spectre of being uncovered as a fraud, and so when markets go up, everyone rushes to buy, not wishing to be castigated for their inability to spot a bargain. But when markets go down, panic truly sets in, and traders scramble over each other to sell assets that they once held closely about them like dear friends. The weakness of spirit and the flatulence of these people would be laughable if they didn't wield so much power.